The Wire.
I don't know, and frankly, the whole thing gives me the heebie-jeebies.
The Wire.
Last Thursday, the Sale and Supply of Alcohol Amendment Community Participation Bill passed its third reading in Parliament. The bill is set to amend the Sale and Supply of Alcohol Act, which was established in 2012 and is the primary legislation referred to when granting alcohol licences to businesses. The amendment aims to widen community participation in preventing alcohol-related harm by making objections to license applications more accessible and allowing local alcohol policies, or LAPs, to tailor policy to what their communities need. I spoke to Karen Wright, co-chair of the Health Coalition's alcohol panel, about the importance of the amendment and what else we can do to reduce alcohol-related harm in Aotearoa. Could you explain what the Sale and Supply of Alcohol Amendment Bill entailed?
So this bill is known as the Community Participation Bill, and it's seeking to make some changes to the Sale and Supply of Alcohol Act. So this act sets up a system of control over the sale and supply of alcohol in Aotearoa. So it sets up the licensing process, and it also established something called local alcohol policies, or LAPs. So the main aim, really, of the act, if we can just think about that first, was to reduce alcohol-related harm and also to increase community input into the licensing process. But since this act was introduced, and that was back in 2012, there's been some key issues that have been picked up, and particularly around the involvement of communities. So this includes that councils have really been unable to adopt and apply local alcohol policies, and this has been due to constant appeals from the alcohol industry. Individuals and groups have also been excluded from objecting to some licences, and the licence hearings themselves have been recognised to be really pretty formal and intimidating for community members. So it's these things that led to the Community Participation Bill, and some of these issues are addressed. So included in the bill is the removal of the appeals process for provisional local alcohol policies. It also means that there's been some expansion to who can object to a alcohol licence. And there's also some improvements suggested for the licensing process to make it more suitable for communities. So this involves removing some of those formal processes, removing cross-examination. So currently, community members can be cross-examined by the applicant and others in the hearing, and also community are expected to cross-examine the other parties, which is not really a skill that most community members have. There's some other things around increasing time frame for notification, so a greater opportunity to respond or object to a licence, and some other things to kind of increase attendance, for example, letting communities know that they can attend remotely if they can't make it in person.
And so what positive impacts will communities see as a result of the bill passing?
Yeah, I think there are some positive impacts for communities, and one of these is that there will be greater certainty for communities, but actually also for businesses, about licensing decisions. So if we can, once the appeal process for local alcohol policies has been removed, there'll be a greater certainty about what licences will and won't be approved. So that will benefit communities because they'll have a reduced burden to oppose applications individually. There'll be this policy that will prevent licences from getting to that part of the process. It also means that businesses are going to have that certainty as well. So they know that there are these rules set by a council, and so that can inform their licensing applications.
Just speaking a little bit more on LAPs, why is it necessary to give local councils the ability to tailor policy for their own communities?
Yeah, well, LAPs allow councils to set some boundaries for licensing decisions. So they can set some guidelines around the location and the number of licences in their rohe, in their area, and also the hours of operation. The aim here for the local alcohol policies is that they're developed by councils with communities, and so that's really important. If we think about, you know, why do we need to tailor them, we know that our communities are really diverse. They're incredibly and beautifully unique in terms of who lives in a community, but also what that community looks like. And a rural community looks really different from a more urban one. So for that reason, it is really important that councils do work with their local communities to create these local alcohol policies so they reflect the community's aspirations and they convey and uphold what communities expect in terms of an alcohol environment. It's also really important to recognise that we come from really different starting places in our communities and their alcohol environments. So unfortunately, some communities are really swamped with alcohol outlets. And unfortunately, those are our communities where Māori are living. And those of our communities living in the poorest neighbourhoods are also really overexposed to alcohol outlets.
And so are there more amendments or changes to the Sale and Supply of Alcohol Act that the Health Coalition would like to see?
Yeah, absolutely. So something that Health Coalition Aotearoa really supports, along with many other individuals, groups and organisations, is to give effect to Te Tiriti or Waitangi in order to provide appropriate authority and involvement of Māori in decision-making around alcohol licensing and alcohol environments. So it's very interesting to note actually that of the many submissions made on this community participation bill, 125 of those submissions pointed out and were concerned about the absence of Te Tiriti or Waitangi in the Sale and Supply of Alcohol Act. So I think it's a really important action needed to ensure that we see really fair and just outcomes in terms of alcohol-related harm for everyone in Aotearoa, but particularly for Māori. And unfortunately, currently, our Māori are twice as more likely to die from alcohol-related conditions. So it's a really important issue, and we have an opportunity with this legislation to make sure that it really does work for everyone and that it works for Māori.
What are some policies the Health Coalition is hoping to see from parties towards the upcoming election relating to reducing alcohol-related harm?
We're really fortunate in this space that there's a lot of guidance about what actions and policies are really effective. And so one of these is a full restriction of alcohol marketing and sponsorship. I'm sure we all are pretty familiar with how visible alcohol is in our environment. In fact, we can look to some recent research from the University of Otago that's identified that our tamariki, our children, are exposed to nearly 5 episodes of alcohol advertising per day. And keeping in mind here that this is a group, a population, who shouldn't really be exposed to this at all. And again, we see some really unfair differences in who's exposed to this marketing. So our tamariki Māori, our Māori children, are exposed 5 times more than New Zealand European children, and Pacific children are exposed 3 times more. So our current environment is a self-regulated one. It's regulated by the industry, and it's an after-the-event or after-the-exposure type system. So, for example, if a billboard advertising alcohol is positioned somewhere that's in breach of the standards, so that would be, for example, outside a school, then a complaint needs to be made, goes through a process, and then it might, you know, be told to be removed. But in the meantime, that billboard, that alcohol advertising, children have been exposed to that for that entire time. So, you know, the current system has certainly got some pretty major limitations. The second policy that would be really important would be to reduce the affordability of alcohol. And both price and affordability influence how alcohol is drunk, how alcohol is consumed. So unfortunately, what we're seeing in Aotearoa is that we've got increasing affordability of alcohol. So this is going in the wrong direction. But we do have some levers that can be used to impact the price and affordability, and that's excise tax and an alcohol levy.
In terms of international standards and recommendations by the World Health Organization, where does New Zealand's alcohol consumption and safety lie?
So the guideline here that's most useful is the World Health Organization SAFER framework. And so this describes those strategies that are most effective for reducing harm. There's 5 parts to this guide, and it's pretty clear that we here in Aotearoa, we certainly have room to improve across all of these areas, but I'll probably just focus on three: availability, advertising, and price. So in terms of availability, this is really about how accessible alcohol is. So the main levers here would be our Sale and Supply of Alcohol Act and the local alcohol policies. And we can see, you know, as we've talked, that the current environment hasn't been working well in terms of restricting availability. The last numbers I saw, in fact, around licensing decisions indicate that less than 0.1% of alcohol license applications are declined. So we can see in terms of this part of the SAFER framework that there's a lot of room for improvement. And hopefully the Community Participation Bill will support that with seeing more LAPs in place. In terms of advertising and marketing, the World Health Organization calls for bans and comprehensive restrictions. So through our system, we can see that we're not really aligned with that, with the self-regulation. It's industry-led, and we've got pretty prolific exposure through marketing and sponsorship, and also online marketing. Social media advertising of alcohol is largely unregulated at the moment. And the final area, price gain, or the World Health Organization really identifies how critical pricing policies are to reducing harm, and clearly things are going in the wrong direction at the moment with increasing affordability over time.
Moving forward, you spoke a little bit about honouring Te Tiriti and our policy surrounding alcohol. How else do we reduce the disproportionate effects of alcohol-related harm that our most vulnerable communities face?
I think embedding Te Tiriti or Waitangi in alcohol legislation and other policy is really central to reducing the unfair and unjust harm, really, that we see for Māori and other communities. And so that does allow the authentic involvement of Māori in this process, and that's really critical. I think some other actions would be to continue to shift the current power imbalance. So at the moment, the alcohol industry really does have significant influence in terms of our alcohol environments and our licensing process. So I think there's further actions to be done to fulfil the purpose of the Act, to ensure that we have that community input and that we protect that community voice. The other area I think it's really important is that we need action across sectors in order to really eliminate, to get rid of these very unfair differences that we're seeing. And so that means addressing some of the big things that shape our health and well-being, that shape alcohol-related harm, and that's things like income, wealth, education, housing and employment. This bill, it really is a step in the right direction, but we really do need to keep going on to see real change for communities so that we can all benefit and thrive in our environment.
That was Karen Wright, co-chair of the Health Coalition's Alcohol Panel, speaking to me about the Sale and Supply of Alcohol Amendment Community Participation Bill and what more needs to be done to reduce alcohol-related harm in Aotearoa.